they were directed to specific people, but they were universal, directed to everybody. Okay, نبتدي بقى second Peter. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Saint Peter concluded first chapter by speaking about the prophetic word as an evidence that the message that Saint Peter and other apostles are preaching is the true message. That's why he concluded the first chapter by speaking about the prophetic word was fulfilled and confirmed by the incarnation of the Son of God. So he started the chapter 2 by speaking about the false teachers. And he said, as there were false prophets in the Old Testament, there is also false teachers. As in the Old Testament, they were false prophets, so in the New Testament, there would be فيكو ممكن تتابع اللي انا بقوله In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Saint Peter concluded the first chapter by speaking about the prophetic word. And he used the prophetic word as an evidence that the message that he was preaching on the other apostles, it is a true message. Because the prophets prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ, like Isaiah prophesied how the Lord Jesus Christ will be born from a virgin. And then when actually Jesus was born from Virgin Saint Mary, so this fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. And now we know that this message, the message of the gospel, is true because it is confirmed by the prophetic word. But as in the Old Testament, there were true prophets, also there were false prophets. And Saint Peter is saying, in every generation, there will be the true and the false. In the Old Testament, we had true prophets and false prophets. In the New Testament also, we will have true teachers and false teachers. And the focus of chapter 2 is about the false teachers. Beware of false teachers. And what are the characteristics of the false teachers? Saint Peter said, number one, denying the Lord who bought them, and they will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Denying the Lord means what? If they are preaching something else than what the Lord preached, they are denying the Lord. If they are giving a message different than what's written to us in the scripture, that's a denial to the Lord. So when they introduce heretical teaching, this heretical teaching is in itself denial to the Lord, even if they claim to be Christians. Like Arius. Arius, he claimed to be Christians. And actually, he was a priest in Alexandria. But he preached that Jesus is not equal to God. He is intermediate being between God and human being. So while he was introducing this heresy, he denied God who bought him and actually died on the cross for him. And Saint Peter said, these people, if they do not repent, they will be punished. That's why he said, God knows how to reserve the wicked for the day of punishment. So this is like a warning to them. If you do not repent, you will be punished. And those who are godly, God will deliver them from temptation. Maybe some people will be deceived by the false teaching. But if you are seeking the truth and searching God by your heart, God will deliver you from the temptation. Also, these people, the false teachers, they are very arrogant, very prideful. And because of their arrogance, they revile against authority, any type of authority, whether it is the authority of God, or the authority of the church, or the authority of the dignitaries, any type of authority. They do not know how to submit. And actually, they are after money. And he called it the wages of unrighteousness. And he compared them with Bil'am in the Old Testament. Bil'am, when they paid him money to curse the people of God. So he said, as Bil'am, because of the wages of unrighteousness accepted to curse the people of God, the false teachers also, they are after money, they are greedy, they are arrogant, and that's why they rebel and revile authorities. They promise good things, but they cannot give it. So he said they are wells, but without water. When you see a well, you assume there is water in it. But when actually you try to get water from the well, it is empty. They are clouds, but with no rain. So they give the impression that they will give you the freedom, the liberty, but in reality, they will lead you to more bondage and more slavery. In both their methods and promises, they seek to deceive others, even those who were actually escaped from the pollution of the world. Those actually who repented and returned to God and like escaped from the corruption and pollution of the world, they will, these people, these innocent people, will become the target of the false teachers. They want to deceive them. And as I said several times, the power of Satan lies in his ability to deceive. And if Satan actually lost this power to deceive, he will be powerless. And like Satan, like his soldiers, the false teachers, they deceive people with good words, and they deceive the simple and the innocent, and actually by using the deceitful methods and deceitful promises, they are able to tempt the simple and the innocent. But he concluded the chapter by saying, these false teachers, they are enslaved by the pollution and the corruption of the world. That's why their end is worse than the beginning. Their end is worse than their beginning. Because they knew God and they knew the way of righteousness. And after they knew God, actually they rebelled against God. And now they are teaching heresies. And St. Peter said it was better for them if they did not know God altogether from the beginning. This is actually the summary of the chapter, but we will start studying now verse by verse from verse 1. I want you to read with me from verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. As I told you, he concluded chapter 1 in verse 19, speaking about the true prophets. And now he is about to speak about the false teachers. So he said, as among the people means among the people of Israel, as among the people of Israel, there were false prophets, even there will be among you false teachers. The term false prophets occurred several times in the Old Testament. For example, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, verse 31, chapter 6, verse 13, chapter 8, verse 10. In all these verses, there are many references to the false prophets. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ warned us from the false prophets, as we read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. The false teacher, why we called them false teachers? Because they preach false doctrines. Not only St. Peter warned us from false teachers, but St. Paul also warned against such false teachers, as in Acts chapter 20 and verse 30. He said, there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. And when actually they introduce heresy, heretical teaching, they will cause division, because some people will support them and some people will be against them. So this division is caused by the false teachers. That's why I can say any heresy cause a schism, cause division in the church, any teaching. Let me tell you, Satan tried to divide and weaken the church by persecution. But persecution never divided the church. Persecution made the church stronger and stronger. Attacks from outside never divided the church. Then Satan actually started to change his technique. And he started to attack the church from within by actually stirring and moving the false teachers to spread their heresies, like what happened with Arius, with Nestorius, with Macedonius. And the church never was divided by persecution from outside, but it was divided by the false teachers from within. That's why a heresy is a schism, or tend to produce a schism in the church. And because they use deceptive methods, that's why St. Peter said, secretly bring in destructive heresies. From outside, they will look like true teachers. From external, they will look like true teachers, but they will interject and introduce their heresies in a secretive way to deceive others. Secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. Some of them, they denied the divinity of Christ, like Arius. They denied his atonement, his redemptive work. And this actually is considered the peak or the culmination of the false teaching. Like Jehovah Witness, they deny the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Mormons, they deny the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Although they claim to be Christians, but they deny the Lord who bought them, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. The Lord said, The offenses will come, but woe to him who bring in offenses. It's better for him to be drowned in the sea. Actually, because these false teachers divide the church, that's why their destruction and their punishment will be severe. And here St. Peter used the word swift, which means quick destruction, sudden destruction. Verse 2. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Unfortunately, many people will follow them. These false teachers will have many followers. That's why you cannot judge the teacher by how many follow him. They said Arius, he was actually a very eloquent speaker, and he composed many songs, and he used this to deceive the people. And the church historians say, unless God protected Athanasius, the whole world would become Arians. So don't judge a teacher by how many people are following him. St. Peter told us many will follow their destructive ways. And not only that, but those actually who follow the truth and defend the truth, they will be blasphemed by them, because they will be standing against these false teachers. That's why these people will be attacked, and the way of truth will be blasphemed by the false teachers and their followers. The way of truth will be evil spoken of. They will speak evil about those who are defending the truth and the way of the truth, because those who are the false teachers are blending the false teaching with the true teaching together. That's why they will blaspheme the way of righteousness and the way of truth. Verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. So actually, as I told you, they use deception, deceit, to exploit you. Exploit means to use you. The false teachers will use the simple people, the innocent people. They will exploit them by deceptive words. And what is the motive here? It is greed. It's greed, love of money, covetousness. So covetousness is the companion of a heresy. Covetousness is a companion of a heresy. And actually, they actually trade souls. They use the simple people to gain by them, as merchant using their words. And here the gain, not necessarily financial gain, but some people will be after fame. They want to have a name. They want to have a reputation. They want to have popularity. These all considered gain. So gain is not only financial gain, but gain can be like popularity, fame, reputation, etc. And here St. Peter is warning us, lest if we are not wise, they will exploit us and use us by covetousness and by deceptive words. Deceit is the tool they are using to exploit you. Then he said, their judgment was long ago determined. God actually determined their judgment. Those who will cause division in the church by false teaching, actually God will execute the judgment speedily on them. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber, which means God will speedily execute this judgment upon them. All sinners will be judged to destruction, and God's punishing some proves he will punish the rest. If God judged the angels, the fallen angels, this is a proof and evidence that this false teacher will not escape the judgment of God. Maybe you heard today in the Synaxarium about Pope Archelaus, and when he did not listen to his spiritual father, Pope Peter, the last martyr or the seal of the martyrs, and how he accepted Arius in the church and ordained him as a deacon. And because of this, as you heard in the Synaxarium of today, he did not stay on the throne of St. Mark more than 6 months because he did not listen to his spiritual father. And by deception, Arius deceived him, and he accepted him in the church and ordained him as a deacon. Verse 4. From verse 4, he is giving us several examples how God did not spare the fallen angels and the bad people and the wicked from judgment. So he is saying, as God did not spare all these people, in the same way, he will not spare the false teachers. Verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So here now speaking about the fallen angels. In order to show that judgments on these wicked false teachers are sure, St. Peter starts speaking about the sinning angels or the fallen angels. And he said they were cast out of heaven. The word hell, the word that's translated hell in verse 4 here, but cast them down to hell, actually in Greek is not, is a Greek language. It's not Gehenna, here Gehannam, but Tartarus, which is a term used like a place for future punishment, which is the Hades, the Hades. As we read in the book of Revelation, in the second coming of Christ, the Lord will cast down Satan into Gehenna, Gehenna, which is the lake of fire. But until now, they are not there. They are in Hades, like a place, a waiting place, place for future punishment. And they became angels of darkness, bounded with chains and excluded from the light of heaven. Excluded from the light of heaven. That's why he said he delivered them into chains of darkness. So they are not in heaven anymore. They are not enjoying the light of heaven to be reserved for judgment. They say Satan is bound by chain. But how Satan is doing all this wickedness in the world? They say if you are binding or holding a dog with a chain, so the dog can actually move freely as long as the chain allow him to move. In the same way, if Satan is bound by chains, so he can move freely within this limit. Of course, the chains are not physical chains, but this means God set boundaries to them. where they can go and where they cannot, what they can do and what they cannot. So Satan, when we say he is bound by chains, means his power is limited and there is boundaries. He cannot do whatever he wants to do. So these chains do not hinder their walking up and down, seeking whom they may devour, but they are restricted in their freedom. They do not have the absolute freedom. But at the end of the days, Satan will be loosed from these chains, and this will be the time of the great tribulation. Verse 5. He gave another example. The first example is the example of the fallen angels. The second example, and God did not spare the ancient world. The ancient world is the world during the time of Noah, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, because in the ark 8 persons were saved. Noah, his wife, then his 3 sons, Sam, Ham, and Japheth, and their 3 wives. So 8 persons were saved in the ark. A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So here, the case of the ancient world is the second example of God's swift justice. But God did not actually flood everybody. God actually delivered the righteous, Noah and his family. So God did not forget his righteous people, Noah and his family, but he asked them to build an ark to save them. And during the time of building the ark, which actually took 120 years, during this time, Noah was preaching righteousness. That's why he described him a preacher of righteousness. He called people to repent. He called people to live righteous life and to enter into the ark with him, but they did not listen to him. So he was a preacher of righteousness by his example, because he lived a righteous life, and also by his words. But unfortunately, these ungodly people did not listen to him. A third example is the example of Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. The main sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is the sin of homosexuality. That's why many times they use the word sodomy to refer to homosexuality. And many times, if you read the word sodomy, this word means homosexuality. Why? Because the main sin of Sodom was homosexuality. And now they refer to homosexuality as sodomy. And God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes because they did not repent. They did not actually listen to God, and made them as an example to those who will live ungodly. So the message here to the false teachers, if God did not spare the fallen angels, if God did not spare the ancient world, if God did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah, but condemned them to destruction, then God also will not spare the false teachers. But as I told you, God usually saves his people. If there is one righteous person, if there are 3 righteous people, God will save them. He saved Noah out of 8 persons from the flood of the ancient world. Also, he saved Lot and 2 daughters from Sodom and Gomorrah, as we read in verse 7, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Living among the wicked, living among ungodly, will tempt you to be ungodly like them. And If you try to resist and to keep on and to hold on to your righteousness, actually you will be torturing your soul every day. You will be oppressed by the filthy conduct of the ungodly. And this was the case of Lot, who lived among the wicked people in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was oppressed by their filthy conduct. And as St. Peter said, he was torturing himself by hearing and seeing every day. But God saved Lot the righteous from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And why he called the people of Sodom the wicked? Because they rebel against the law of God, the law of man, and the law of nature. If you think about homosexuality, it's against the law of God. God created Adam and Eve. He did not create two men or two women. So God, his purpose in marriage to be actually a relationship between a man and a woman. So they are against the law of God and against the law of men. Even those who do not know God, the marriage for them is between man and a woman. And even this against the law of nature. You know, the anatomy, the physiology of the body also is against homosexuality. That's why he said, these wicked people, they are against the law of God, against the law of man, and against also the law of nature. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Verse 8, for that righteous man, Lot, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. That's why St. Paul in his letter to Corinthians, he said, there is no fellowship between darkness and light. There is no fellowship between children of God and children of Belial. Be separate from among them. Don't dwell among ungodly people. And he said also that bad company corrupts good morals. You need to actually separate yourself from the ungodly people. And we have here the example of Lot, how he tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. He had a troubled soul. His soul was troubled because every day seeing their lawlessness, he was grieved, and as if he lived a painful life. Verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Here he is giving us a message of hope. Even if you are living in a world that's full of wickedness, and full of lawlessness, and full of ungodliness. But if you hold on to your righteousness, God will save you, as he saved Noah, as he saved Lot. So these examples show that the Lord knows how to deliver the righteous from trials, as well as these examples show that God will reserve the unjust and the wicked and the ungodly unto day of judgment to be punished. So here is your choice. Either to live righteous life and God will deliver you, or people who will choose the way of wickedness, they will be judged in the day of judgment. They will be punished in the day of judgment. Not only the false teachers will be judged severely, but he said in verse 10, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. ذكرنا البيبل. The people who satisfy the lusts of the flesh, who are led by the desires of the flesh, not by the Spirit of God. So these people will receive the greater punishment. Number one, the false teachers, because they divide the church of God. Number two, the carnal and the impure people, because they defile the temple of God. As St. Paul said, you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit abide in you. He who destroys the temple of God, which is your body, God will destroy him. And the third category that will receive a severer punishment is the rebellious, those who rebel against authorities. Why? Because if you rebel against authority, eventually you rebel against the authority of God. That's why he said, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. Those who refuse to submit to any authority. What is the sin of the fallen angel? What's the sin of Satan? He refused to submit to the authority of God. That's the arrogance, that's the pride. And actually, usually, the false teachers, they do not submit to authority, and they are tempted by uncleanness and carnal sins. And then in verse 10, he starts to describe them. He said, they are presumptuous and self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. So, a characteristic of this class is their arrogance and stubbornness. They are stubborn. Those who do not submit, they are arrogant and stubborn. And not only they refuse to submit, but they are not afraid to speak evil of persons in authority. Although they are insignificant in their power and their might, but because of their arrogance, they are not afraid to speak evil of persons in authority. And we see nowadays how many people actually speak evil about the authorities, for example, in the church. Many people, unfortunately, they speak negative things about His Holiness and about the church authority. So St. Peter is warning us, this is arrogance, this is stubbornness, and these people actually will receive greater punishment. That's why he described them as presumptuous and self-willed. They do not put their will under the will of God, but they execute their own will, self-will. Instead of saying, thy will be done, they say, my will be done. And they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. He said, the angels, not the fallen angels, but the godly angels. He said, the godly angels, they actually respect people in authority. And they do not speak evil about people in authority. Do you remember St. Paul when he was in trial? And actually he spoke negative about the high priest who was actually testing him. Then they told him, don't you know that he is the high priest? He said, I didn't know, because the law said, do not speak evil about, you know, the authority of in your people, or the people in authority in your people. So here, he gives us a very nice example that the angels, they do not speak negative about people in authority. Verse 11, whereas angels who are greater in power and might, definitely angels are greater in their power and might, greater than us, do not bring a reviling accusation against them, them referring to the dignitaries, to those who are in authority before the Lord. So the angels who are superior in might and power do not show such disrespect to the people in authority. But these arrogant false teachers, they actually speak negative about people in authority. So in this part, St. Peter told us that the false teachers, the carnal people, and the rebellious people will receive greater punishment, and they should repent, because if they think God will spare them, they are deceived. God did not spare the fallen angels, God did not spare the ancient world, and God did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 12. But these, the false teachers, the carnal people, and the rebellious people, but these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. He's saying the beasts are actually caught to be killed. So these people, the false teachers, and the carnal people, and the rebellious people, they are like these beasts. Because when they speak irrational, when they actually revile against God and against those who are in authority, they actually give themselves to the destruction, to be caught by God and be destroyed in the lake of fire. That's why he said, these like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed. So this false teacher, when they speak evil of things they do not understand, what will happen to them? Utterly, they will perish in their own corruption. So these men willingly cast themselves into Satan's snares to be destroyed. As he caught the animals, Satan is caughting them, is catching them. And they are destined to this latter. Verse 13, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who counted pleasure to carouse in the daytime. These people, they speak evil of things they do not understand. The false teachers, they do not understand the truth of the gospel. That's why they speak, they actually introduce false doctrines. Or they speak of angels, or they speak of heavenly things, or they speak about God. Things they do not understand, they speak negative about them. And their own wicked conduct will bring them to destruction, and eternal punishment will be the wage of their unrighteousness. That's why he said they will receive the wages of unrighteousness. What's the wage of sin? Is death. And the wage of unrighteousness is eternal punishment. The wage of sin is death. And the wage of unrighteousness is eternal punishment. And he told us, do you know how they are irrational? I will give you an example why they are irrational. They lose their eternal life for the pleasure of one day. The carnal man who are following the lust of the flesh, maybe he will lose the eternal glory because of the pleasure of a moment, a pleasure of one day. That's why he said, those who counted pleasure to carouse in the daytime, to celebrate, to have ungodly entertainment, to have ungodly fun. They are forgetful of the coming destruction, and they take pleasure in carousal for a day, regardless of the morrow, regardless of the eternal life. That's why he said they are spots and blemishes. You know how in your clothes, if you have clean clothes and there are some spots, actually they will disfigure or deshape your clothes. In the same way, these people in the middle of the church, the false teachers or the carnal people or the rebellious people, Saint Peter is describing them as spots and blemish in the church of God. They are spots and blemish. So they are disfiguring the beauty of the church. They are disfiguring the beauty of the church because they are spots and blemish, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. While they celebrate with you, the word feast with you means they celebrate the Eucharist with us or any activity. So while they are celebrating with us, feasting with us, actually they are like spots and blemish, and they are carousing in their own deception, which means they take pleasure in their own sins and lusts, and by which they deceive others. That's why he said carousing in their own deception. They deceive others by their own sins and their own lusts in which they are taking pleasure. Verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. The carnal man, all his mind, all his heart is full of lust of the flesh. That's why he said their eyes are full of adultery. They look around with a lustful appetite. And their eye cannot cease from sin. Cannot cease from their sin. All the time, when even actually they see something good, they look at it in a lustful way. So their eyes cannot stop or cease from sin. And they are enticing unstable souls. The simple people, those who are unstable, those who are not firmly established in their faith and in their piety and in their spiritual life, they will be easily deceived and easily enticed by the carnal people, by the false teachers, and by the rebellious people. That's why you need to be confirmed in your faith. You need to be confirmed in your piety, in your righteousness. Otherwise, you will be easily enticed and seduced by these people. They entice unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Be careful. They are very, very well trained in covetous practice. How actually they deceive others and how they exploit others. So not only their eyes are full of adultery, but also their hearts. Because heart is the fountainhead of the lust. So from the heart comes the adultery to the eyes. It starts here within the heart, and then it comes to your eye. And these people, because they are well trained in covetous practices, how they deceive other and exploit other and make gain out of others, that's why they are not blessed but accursed children. They will be cursed by their conduct and behavior. Cursing and covetousness go hand in hand together. Then actually he will give us the example of Balaam from the book of Numbers, chapter 31. As we read in verse 15, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam was a prophet. Then the king of Moab gave him money to curse the people of Israel. But actually, on the way to Moab, he was riding his donkey. And the angel of God appeared and stopped the donkey from actually going to Moab. The donkey saw the angel of God. Balaam did not see him. So he started actually to beat the donkey. And the donkey cannot move because the angel is standing before him. This is a story in Numbers chapter 22, the book of Numbers chapter 22. So actually, the donkey smashed his leg against the wall. And after that, God actually gave power to the donkey to speak. And the donkey rebuked Balaam. And when actually Balaam went, he could not curse the people of Israel. Actually, he blessed them against his own will, because the prophecy comes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he said to the king, I cannot curse people whom God blessed. Then actually, he proposed a very bad counsel to the king. He told him, do you want the children of Israel to be accursed? Let me tell you how. Send the women or the females of Moab to seduce the men of Israel and to make them fall in adultery with them. And once the people fall in adultery, God will leave them. And when God leaves them, you can win them. You can overpower them. And actually, this is what happened. That's why St. Peter said, these false teachers or these carnal people who entice others to sin and to lust, these rebellious people, they have forgotten the right way, the way of righteousness, and gone astray, gone after the lust of the flesh, gone after their own will, their own mind, in stubbornness and rebellious, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, who loved the greed and the money of unrighteousness. Balaam sold himself out to an evil cause for the sake of gain. Verse 16, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. So since this prophet became mad, lost his mind, and who rebuked him? Who restrained him? A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. He was rebuked by the voice of a donkey, he wrote. As I explained to you this story, you can read it in Numbers chapter 22. And God made the donkey speak to rebuke this prophet. Verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These are wells, these referring to the false teachers, to the carnal people, and to the rebellious people. And usually, these three things are in one person. These are wells without water. Wells without water, they promise much, but they cannot fulfill their promises. They disappoint. So like well promise you water, but there is no water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest. These mists promise rain, but it fails to descend water. So this false teacher promise you liberty, promise you salvation, but no. Wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest. For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? For these rebellious people, the blackness of darkness is reserved. What does mean the blackness of darkness? It means the severest punishment in hell. The blackness of darkness, the severest punishment in hell, the eternal separation from the presence of God and His glory, the glory of His power. So we can say false and corrupt teachers will be sent into the lowest hell. False and corrupt teachers will be sent into the lowest hell. That's why he said the blackness of darkness is reserved for them forever. Verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. He is saying they speak great swelling words of emptiness. So their words are deceptive words. Great swelling words, very powerful words, but when actually you think about what they are saying, it's nothing. They don't say anything. It is empty words. They promise great things, but they disappoint. They cannot fulfill their promises. Great swelling words, but empty. Big words, but nothing in them. They say big, big words, but there is nothing in them. And they allure through lusts of the flesh. They deceive, they entice through lusts of the flesh. They will tell you, you can do whatever you want to do. Like those who are preaching homosexuality. They actually, some churches approved homosexuality. So they are enticing people through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness. So they approve actually drinking, dancing, sexual immorality, and they say God is not against all these activities. So through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, they entice the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. They entice simple people who actually escaped, already repented, and already escaped from people who are living in error, but they bring them back to ungodly life. So they entice those who are about to be delivered from the company of them who live in error. How? By using lust and profanity. So actually, they are not only false teachers, but also they deceive people. And they deceive people who already repented. They bring them back to wickedness. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, freedom, do whatever you want to do. There is no restraining. You can do whatever, if you want to live in homosexuality, do. Nothing wrong in this. Sexual immorality, nothing wrong in this. Drinking, dancing, nothing wrong in this. They actually promise liberty, but they don't know they are enslaving the people to these bad habits. They themselves are slaves of corruption. So, liberty from all restraint, complete freedom to serve their own wills against the law of God. They promise freedom from any restraint. Do whatever you want to do. Make your own law. And actually, they encourage complete freedom from the will of God to serve your own desires and to serve your own lusts. while they promise them liberty. So those who offer liberty, they are slaves to this habit. They are slaves to drinking. They are slaves to alcohol. They are slaves to homosexuality. They are slaves serving their own passions and lusts. They themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Saint Peter is telling us a very golden rule. A very golden rule, I want you to understand it very well. He said, by whom a person is overcome, if a certain habit is overcoming you, by him also he is brought into bondage. So you are actually under bondage of this habit. So if alcohol overcame you, you are not free. You are a slave to alcoholism. If gambling overcome you, you are enslaved to this bad habit. Sexual immorality, sexual habits, etc. So by whom a person is overcome, if this bad habit or bad sin overcame you, by him also he is brought into bondage. You are under bondage. You are not free. Verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. He said, if you already escaped the corruption, you know, you knew Jesus Christ, and through this knowledge, you actually escaped from the corruption and the pollution of the world. And then you return it back. You relapse to your former life. Then the end will be worse than the beginning. So if one who has been converted and repented is enticed back again into his sin, his end is worse than before. Why is that? The relapse, or the biblical term, is called apostasy. Apostasy means falling back or returning back. The apostasy is more inexcusable because you already tested Christ. If you did not test Christ, maybe you had an excuse. But if you tested Christ and then you rebelled against him, it is inexcusable. And this will cause greater condemnation, greater damnation. That's why he said, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. He said, it is better for them if they did not know it. But now they knew it and rebelled against it. This makes their case worse. Because they add the sin of rejecting the way of righteousness after its knowledge to their other sins. For example, sin of immorality, sin of lewdness, sin of covetousness. And now there is another sin is added to these sins, which is the sin of rejecting the way of righteousness after the experience, after the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last verse in this chapter, he said, they are like animals. He said, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Said the dog, after he vomits, he goes back to his vomit to eat. So these people, after they vomited their sins and repented, they go back to this vomit and eat and live a sinful life again. So this relapse actually is described in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11, this apostasy. And this repulsive course can be compared with the most disgusting habits of unclean animals. Like when a dog vomits and then he eats his vomit again, the same way after you vomit these sins, you go back to these sins and eat it again. Or a sow, swine, pig, having washed, they go back wallowing in the mire. After they are cleansed, after the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed you from your sins, you go back wallowing yourself in the mire of sin. So this actually the chapter in which St. Peter is warning us from false teachers, from carnal people, and from being rebellious, telling us that these people actually will receive a greater damnation, but God will save the righteous from among them and from temptation and trial. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Have any questions about this chapter? Yes, ma'am. He's asking whether the false prophet knows that he is deceiving people or not. The problem of the false prophets and the false teachers is their arrogance and their pride. They do not submit to the authority. That's why if they go and submit to the authority and to the teaching of the church, they wouldn't end up as false teachers or prophets. For example, Arius. In the Council of Nicaea, Athanasius actually conversed with him, dialogued with him, tried to convince him, but he was blind by his own arrogance. That's why St. Peter connected between arrogance, rebellious, being a cardinal man, and false teachers. So the false teachers, they actually deceived by their own pride, by their own arrogance. And they know in their mind, they don't know they are deceived. And they think that their teaching is the truth. But if they humble themselves and submit themselves to the authority of the church, they wouldn't fall in this deception. That's why St. Augustine, he said, I do not accept the gospel except as the church teaches. Which means to understand the Bible, I will not follow my own understanding, but the teaching of the church. So they are deceived themselves because of their arrogance and because of their pride. Any other questions? I think Abuna will do some review question with you. Come here.
أنا طالب الخيبان. Did somebody give you this paper? You ask and I answer. So, what's meant by false prophets? Yeah. False prophet in the Old Testament was people who prophesy something wrong today, any wrong teaching, right? So what impact can their teaching have on their followers according to what we read? They take me away from the right path, right? Take me away from the right path, and what's the result? Yeah, you start lose your way. In verse 10, what are the two main sins of heretics? Yes. Yeah, the lust and despising the authority. This is the two main sins which make them lose their way, and their followers, they lose their direction too. Verses 15, 16, it talks about Balaam. Who is he and what was his main problem? Well, who is Balaam? Yes, yes. And what was his problem? Yeah, he loved money, and he was doing it for money. You know how it ended? Each time he was trying to curse the people of God, God will talk in his mouth a blessing, right? And then after he failed in cursing the people, what happened? He did something real bad, and God was very angry at his people. You know what he did? He couldn't curse him, but he did something. Yeah, yeah. Phoebe got it. he had this idea. He told the king to let their girls seduce the men of Israel, and this is what happened. And Israel men, they sinned with Moabites women, and God was very angry at them for doing this, right? The last one, in that paragraph, it talks about false meaning of liberty. Explain. What's the wrong meaning of liberty in the last paragraph? Exactly. Second Peter, the last, it says here, let me see where it has been. What is it? 19. While they promise them liberty, yeah, themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Who can give me a verse Jesus said about this? The one who does sin is what? A slave of sin, you know? So they promise people of liberty, and to be free, you do whatever, not knowing that doing sin, you become a slave to sin, right? Good job.
فضل نصلي. يترأف الله علينا وليباركنا، يظهر وجهه علينا ويرحمنا. يا رب خلص شعبك وبارك ميراثك، ارعاهم وارفعهم الى الابد، ارفع شأن المسيحيين في كل زمان ومكان بإشارة صليبك المحيي، بالسؤالات والطلبات التي ترفعها من كل حين. والدة الإله القديسة الطاهرة مريم وسائر صوف الملائكة والأباء والأنبياء والرسل والمبشرين والإنجيلين والشهداء والنساك والسواح والعباد المجاهدين الذين أرض رب أعمال المسرح كل حين، بركة ملاك هذا اليوم، بركة قديس هذا اليوم، بركة رئيس الملائكة جليل نخيل والقديس سبحان المعمدان، بركة سادات الأباء الرسل، بركة مرمور أسكاروز الديار المصرية والشهيد العظيم من الجرجس، بركة شهيد أبانو، بركة قديس الأنبا أنطونيوس الأنبا المسكان والأنبا موسى الأسود، بركة صوم سادات الأباء الرسل، بركة يوم الأحد الذي مخلصنا الصالح، وبركة سيد العظيم أمرهم ولهم آخرة، بركاتهم المقدسة ونعمتهم قوتهم ومعاناتهم وشفاعتهم وهبتهم تكن معنا جميعا أمين بإخريستوس بنوتي. تقول أنت تيهيرين وينان تكهيرين سنينان تكهيرين كان النوفي ناني فول جيسوك تتيقوم نبيونا بسمونا بأماش أني أمين. O Lord, make us worthy to pray thankfully. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, can you and gift of the Holy Spirit be with you all? Go in peace. May the peace of the Lord be with you. Amen.